Hello.
Hello. Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Cannalinguists.
Yes, we are the Cannalinguists.
On the Crab Diving Network, or crabdiving.com. But boy, I didn't realize how Cannalinguists on crab diving would come out of my mouth. That is, I realize now, people tuning into the show are going to be like, what are these people going to do? What are they going to do?
I think it's
crab diving, we got Cannalinguists, they just smoking pot and going down on people. I don't know what's going on. That's it's going to be a fun time.
clickbait all day. They're like, I have to see what this is.
Yeah, gotta see what it is. And I am Alex Mandelberg.
This is April O'Connor.
How you doing, April?
I'm doing fabulous.
How's your week?
It was good. It's harvest season.
It is the season. The most wonderful time of year.
It's the most wonderful time.
It is
time
a very
year.
Happy time
Just
of year.
Just drive north of San Francisco on the 101 and roll down your windows and breathe. You'd be like, wow, I didn't know there were so many skunks up in this part of the town.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it smells real skunky up here, bro.
That must be the Sasquatch I'm smelling.
Oh, yeah. I went last night to go see Gwar at the House of Blues. That was my big event of the week.
And how many showers did you take after?
I took four. Here's the thing. I took like three showers, and finally I was able to get all of the blood off. For those of you who don't know, Gwar is a performance art death metal band, and I'm not a death metal fan. I'm really not, but this is the one band that I've seen that I was like, oh my god, this is so much fun.
Giant animatronic penises that squirt blood and cum is what
I haven't been
to one, but
the lead singer and the man who founded the band, Dave Brocky, passed away this year.
Yeah, he did.
And it was amazing because he always had this thing where it was like, Gwar could go on forever. Gwar never has a stop because we're all wearing these costumes and, anybody could wear them. And all these old members who had gone away and other people wearing their costumes started coming back to the band and really fought to keep his dream going and to keep the band going. And they didn't miss a beat. They're on tour the same that they would have been if Dave was still around and back out. And it was a great time. It was a fun show. I was doused in blood. What was amazing was after the fourth shower, when I gotten all the blood off my body, I then looked in the mirror and I realized my face was still covered. So in the mirror, then with the Irish spring over and over and scrubbing and scrubbing, and it took a while to get it all off. I still think there might be some under
here.
You're
looking like you have a sunburn.
Yeah, I'm looking a little rouge, if I may say so myself. Looking
It hasn't been, it's been nice the past couple of days, but it hasn't really been like beach weather, so.
No, it hasn't been beach weather.
So that's kind of, maybe it's, it's Halloween, too. We just had Halloween, so.
That's true.
Expected for people to maybe have some reactions from all that face paint too.
Yeah, I had this skin thing, which it was a skin virus called plantariasis rosea, which is very rare, not contagious, gives you no fever, just gives you really, really itchy, like hive looking things, and nothing in the world worked until I started using some of the hemp oil creams.
Wow.
Everything in the world was just fucking, everything that I would put on, it was just, okay, so I would douse my body in calamine lotion. I feel good for like 30 seconds. I feel wonderful. And then it was just back to wanting to itch every part of me.
Yeah.
And that was about the only thing that at least in some way was able to really kind of dull the terribleness of that feeling. It was, going to the doctor, because I thought it was an allergic reaction. I'd never done anything healthy for myself, ever. The most healthy thing I do for myself probably is smoke weed. Uh-huh. That's not, so I was drinking these berry smoothies, thought I was having an allergic reaction.
Yeah, strawberries.
Yeah, strawberries, something. So I take my shirt off. The doctor's like, nope, that's plantariasis, Rosea. I'm like, okay, what is it? She's like, don't really know. How do you get it? No idea. Like, can you tell me anything? She's like, I'll tell you what, I can print up everything I got on plantariasis rosea. I'm expecting her to come back in with a pamphlet. She comes in with one piece of paper, double spaced, and this print wasn't even that small. It was just, it was painful.
Didn't even need to bust out your reading glasses.
And at the end, she was like, we don't study it because no one dies from it. So do you want some steroid cream?
No.
Will that shut you up?
Yeah, it's just like, just things that, oh, here, you know, psoriasis, eczema, all these things that are probably related to foods you're eating and things like, you know, outside environmental toxins.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff. But it's very interesting because I even know that it helps like some like geriatric skin disorders too for older, your grandparents or your parents that are just dealing with uncontrollable itching from, you know, even just like their glasses on their face and stuff. But then on the contrary of that, which is really interesting, because I've handled, you know, a few plants in my day that I have an allergic reaction to the plant itself.
Oh.
Where I just get huge like rashes and really, really itchy from processing.
From processing or from smoking?
It's different because there's...
Because I have a friend, and you've been someone I've been dying to ask about this.
When it's still fresh, it has like, especially if you ever rubbed your arm against a live plant. It can, you know, it's part of a natural defense mechanism of the plant is the, you know.
Get away from me.
Exactly. So it has like, you know, prickliness to it that can, you know, stick in your skin and be really itchy.
Well, if you can't tell from listening already, April on our show is the more expert of the two of us. Here's the thing. I'm a smoker. I'll admit it. I'm a smoker who probably does not know very... I know what I like. I know what I don't. But I don't know much about the science. And it is very... I take my hat off. I don't understand it. I'm trying to understand it. But dear God.
It's just so interesting to me that it can have... all these benefits, like it has antiviral properties and things like that. That's why it's good for what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but then when it's fresh, it can have the opposite. It can have like contact dermatitis and like just like, I get really, really itchy like welts sometimes from it.
Ah.
Like I sometimes have to tie like a bandana. Well, that reminded me because
I wanted to ask you, I have a friend who swears, he's like, I haven't smoked in 2 years. He's allergic to everything. And now he claims he thinks he developed an allergy to marijuana.
It's very true. I mean, and then there's also this thing about allergies in general, about how you can create an allergy by doing the same thing every day. Herbal medicine, traditionally, they'll say like, oh, a couple days on, a couple days off, a week on, a week off, so that your body can, you know, reacclimate. Because herbs are supposed to like get your body to start doing its own job on its own again, where a drug creates a need for that drug and receptor sites for that drug.
Yeah, yeah. If anybody watched this week's episode of South Park, when I could not stop laughing. It was on. They were talking about addiction, and Stan asks for help and an explanation, and the devil shows up. And you think that the devil's gonna be like, "Yeah, evil temptation." He sits him down. He's like, "It's just basic genealogy and shit. You know, when you have dopamine in your brain and you're used to the good shit, you know, you want more good shit."
Yeah.
And it's like
And then, but then instead of your body craves that drug, like even like with heroin addiction, you know, when you get on painkillers, your body will tell you you're experiencing pain because it wants more of that drug.
Yeah.
And the pain might not even be there anymore. You're just, that's how it, you know.
It's amazing. I always tell people the story when I was terribly sick and I got hospitalized and they were giving me Dilaudid because of how much pain I was in, which, if you don't know what that is, it's synthetic heroin.
Yeah.
And
which is worse.
After like 3 days of that stuff straight, it was into the point where I'm like, I'm not in pain, but every 4 hours I'm ringing, I'm like, so it hurts. It hurts a bit.
Yeah.
Yep, it hurts.
And the thing that's what's fucked up about synthetic versions of herbal, you know, like if it's synthesized from a constituent of, you know, then it creates more addiction because the whole plant is what is helpful to you, not a little tiny derivative of it. And especially if you synthesize that,
you synthesize it, it's obviously going to probably be more harmful.
Like, perfect example, Valium. You're addicted to Valium, but if you take valerian root by itself, then it doesn't create addiction.
I didn't even know that.
Same thing, California poppy, or even poppy. You know, if you're not milking it and doing, you know, mixing it with a bunch of synth.
I always wondered if that whole Seinfeld thing was true. If you took the poppy seed and stuff, if you had a poppy seed muffin right before a drug test, if you were going to piss positive, like, that can't be true.
I mean, a little bit.
A little bit? Really?
Maybe a very, very slight bit, but I don't think it would make you fail.
Yeah, maybe
You'd
not.
You'd have to literally, like, eat, like, a
That was just the whole thing. My favorite line in that whole thing was just going, what do you think, I'm in a fucking opium den? Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
You doing all right over there?
I know. All of a sudden, I was like, I feel really baked.
Feeling really baked right now, talking about marijuana.
I was like, shit.
It was a big week, though. I mean, I've read more articles this week that said, you know, considering, you know, the Republican shellacking that happened in the election this week. The amazing thing to me was that the news that I've been hearing most is that the winner of this election was marijuana. With a lot of states passing reform, if not medical. Here's my question. So is D.C. going completely recreational? Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
100% legally, just like Colorado, just like Washington. Well, not just like, but, you know.
Well, each place will definitely have their own regulations and legislation. Yeah, yeah. That's going to differ in taxes and all that stuff. I mean, definitely Colorado and Washington are different already right from the jump.
Yeah.
Because Colorado started and just switched their medical, you know, and said, okay, we're going to start going recreational. So dispensaries are recreational.
Yeah. And then Washington, as you explained, they built it from the ground up separately from the medical world, which led to, as I've told you, I was in Washington and I went and bought 100% legal marijuana regulated by the state. They told me it had 24% THC. They told me who the mother and father plant was. They told me everything about it. And I paid $90 for 2 grams. That is obscenely expensive, but I got to say that it was legal.
That is almost, that's the most expensive place that I've known of weed, not medically, but is Bermuda. Do you know Collie Buds, the reggae artist? He has a song about $100 gram.
Oh, geez.
I don't know. For some reason, they're very strict about it out there. And like, there's, I mean, it, the population of Bermuda is almost 50% African.
Yeah.
You know, so that they, it's big reggae population.
Yeah.
You know,
and a lot of reggae.
A lot of Rasta.
And they're charging $100 a gram?
They don't even share. Like, there are no, if they get their own weed, they don't share it with people. They roll their own joints.
I was about to say, I was like, either that or it is the richest island in the world. And you're like, what are they spending all their money on? Listen, it's like $100 a gram mm-hmm. out here. And like, I get it. I would totally understand why. But $100 a gram. Yeah. $90 for 2 grams. It was. And here's the thing: we bought out of a, we didn't bring a pipe with us either, so we
figured you could buy one.
We figured we would buy one there, and we could.
Was that expensive?
But no, it will. Here is the funny thing: so you go up to a guy when you first go in, and he goes, "All right, let me tell you what I got." And I thought he was going to pull out the weed that he had. No, he pulled out a piece of paper with the lists of the weed that he had. And he goes, so I got this one. This is a 24%. I can get you an eighth, 160 out the door, out the door. Now I've also got this one, 2 grams, 25%, $90 out the door, $90. And we were like, okay, we'll take that $90 one. And we go, we get it. And we go, can we get a pipe too? And he goes, state likes to keep the sale of paraphernalia and flowers separate. So you can go over to that counter over there and buy a pipe. It's like
In the same building.
I just had to go to a different register.
Separate transaction.
Separate transaction, separate register altogether.
So maybe separate companies under the same roof, different tax, you know.
Maybe. It is definitely taxed differently. I understand. I understand that one is taxed one way and one is taxed another. But it was such a circus of... Is this what you have to do to be legal?
It's so gray.
You're driving people away from it.
I mean, it's gray area here, too. Like, I worked at a dispensary where they had, and I won't say which one, but they had, like, a, you know, blanket of, you know, we use this bank account for this, and, like, we use this bank account for that.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard about that stuff.
And, you know.
It's only been recently, I feel like, in the last 2 years that dispensaries have really been allowed to use Banks as anything more than a personal.
Right.
I mean, because I know a lot of owners were just having personal accounts that they were using to pay the company. Being allowed to have a business account is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. It was more about taxes and like the BOE more than federal stuff.
Well,
like,
here's my question, though.
Selling things like have tobacco, like blunts,
yeah,
or things like that are taxed, that's different because the gray area in California of taxes for a while was, you know, if you're paying taxes, you are acknowledging that you're selling, and you're not supposed to be selling. You're supposed to be providing medicine. So there's weird. It's all like it's always been quasi like when it goes recreational. Boom, it's done. You know,
yeah, it's done.
Like,
we don't you don't have to worry about that anymore.
But you do because there's all these regulations and taxes.
But do you think that
things.
The banks were? I mean, I always wondered was it the banks didn't want to get involved in the drug business, or was it more the fact that, you know, there was a long time where pot shops were bad business. It felt like you saw a new one every week, and none of them were being extremely profitable. You know.
Somewhere.
Now it's getting to a point where the market is stabilized. We've had it legal now for, it's going to be about 10 years, right? Medically.
Well, California Prop 215 was 96.
Okay. Oh, wow.
But then...
The shops, I feel like, didn't start opening until...
Early 2000s. Early
2000s.
Yeah.
So now that we're reaching the decade around that, now that you've seen that the market stabilized and mm-hmm. the businesses that are going to stay are going to stay... It feels like, you know, maybe it was a little bit of natural selection. We'll see who can, we'll let them duke it out, see who does the best, and we'll let the ones remaining open business, you know, get business loans. I mean, it's a terrible thing to do, but it kind of at least seems like what the banks might have been doing. I don't think that they didn't want to get involved in the drug industry because, let's be honest, the banks will make money anywhere. They're happy to just collect a paycheck. Oh, my little dog barking in the background. I know.
Ruby.
Little Ruby.
But there was that whole, I mean, even just about whether they can have merchant services. If, you know, because then you have to, I mean, there's lots of places that don't take credit card because let's be honest.
They don't want to deal with it.
They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with the percentages and they don't necessarily want to claim everything that, you know.
I've made an issue. I only go to shops where I can pay by card.
Yeah.
Because I want to pay tax. You have no idea the pride that I like. I make enough money that mm-hmm. I can pay tax on my fucking weed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. And I've worked at places where I've paid taxes and been, you know, on health insurance.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful blossoming industry. That
when I pay on my card, I can write off part of it on my taxes at the end of the year. It is. In every way, shape, and I'm so, I love it. I love every minute of it. I cannot get enough of it. Oh, we're closing in now. That bewitching minute is coming.
Oh, man. See, I went ahead and I just like took this rip off my bowl where I was like, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to sound really educated. I'm not going to get too stoned before.
And then, it all just hits you in the fucking face all at once.
Yeah, this is the little dragon. It's from, available at Cornerstone. It's
Ooh.
It's a very nice, and then how strong it hits is you can just go back a few minutes and realize where my eyes glazed over.
April was going real smart on a tangent and then it was like this wall.
And I was like, okay.
I was saying something, but whatevs.
Up in smoke it went.
Up in smoke it goes.
Yeah. Well, we won't even rehash.
So what's
that.
This one called again?
It's called A Little Dragon.
A Little Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that is tasty. I do like that.
Yeah.
Is that a hybrid?
Definitely a hybrid.
That's a hybrid.
It's an
okay.
OG cross.
Would you say more indica or more sativa dominant?
I'd say that there's definitely a good presence of sativa there. Hence,
I'm a sativa man because I always say I'm an all day, every day smoker. I will go to work smoking. And if I were to smoke indica all day, every day, I would be a useless human being.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to do anything.
It's the opposite. And I don't know if sometimes people say that, you know, men and women are different or sometimes it's just how much you smoke, but sativas for me kind of make me more dumb than indicas. Indicas relax my body and sativas make, you know, some sativas are more stony than others. the higher the THC and stuff, sometimes I just...
That's understandable.
Some are clear and they, well, they're productive.
Well, that being said,
productive.
My offering today is a pure sativa.
Okay.
By the name of Phyllis Diller.
Oh, yeah.
Available at D9 and also at Perennial. It's my all-time favorite, number one. I can't... Like I said, being a sativa person...
Is this the 420 doobie time?
It's 420, so lighting up a rolled marijuana cigarette so that we can start our next wonderful segment. Actually, I'm going to let you taste this and we'll start it. Hold on. Yep, yeah, that's it right there. Oh, that makes me so happy. Problem with that. Doing a radio show when you're a choker.
You don't have a cough button.
Oh, listeners are going to have to get used to the fact I'm a cougher. That's just, I always have been. I always will be. People go, oh my God, you got to get checked out. You're enjoying yourself? Yes. Yes, I am. I get to the point I'll be drooling. It's like, it's terrible.
The more you cough, the more you get off.
That's what they say. But yeah, how are you enjoying it?
I need some clarity, so I think it's pulling me back.
Is it pulling you back into space? Well, while it pulls you back, I'll introduce our little hash it out segment. Our topic today, as far as legalization goes, now with it happening in more places, it's been talked about a bit about sports teams that reside in cities and or states that have now completely legalized recreational use of marijuana, and should players in those states and or players visiting those states be allowed to partake in said marijuana? I personally don't believe so. April?
Would hope so.
Would hope so.
But then, like, would they be able to go to these other states that aren't, and they wouldn't be able to use their medicine, so it would only be like when they're playing at home or
well, that's the one thing. Yeah, here's the thing: it's whether we will label marijuana as a performance enhancing drug, and that's where I say it is. Mm-hmm. It's a performance enhancer. It's a bronchodilator. It opens up the lungs. You can breathe a little bit heavier. It definitely. I mean, I remember the first, my first season playing rugby. I played football in high school. I was okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't anything special. I go to play rugby, pretty much the same thing. And I'd never smoked any weed before. And right before my best friend, we both played the same position, but on, you know, opposite sides. So I was the blind side flanker. He was the open side flanker, and he'd got injured. And so I had to play open side for a game. And before the game, the night before the game, I'm going, what do you do, man? I'm so nervous. I don't know what to do. He goes, honestly, I just get fucking high as hell before a game. I don't smoke. He goes, well, guess you're going to tonight. And we just got blind-faced. First time in my life. I puked orange soda and chicken nuggets on the carpet in my dad's garage after my first bong toke. And wake up the next morning still high. They're making me smoke more on the way to the game. Yes. And I get to the game, and I just tore it up. I was unbelievable. Oh, I was unbelievable. It was the best game I've ever played, probably still, was after that first time. And ever since, I still have. And you know what? I improved. I definitely improved. There was a point on the field where I went, I feel like everyone else is moving slower than I am. And I'm a slow person. So for that to happen, I don't know if it's fair to let these elite athletes use something that could enhance their performance.
I think that it would be okay if they used it during recovery or things like that. But, you know, like, it's like some drugs metabolize faster, so you can't tell. But because it happens to stay in your system and your fat cells, then they're able to, you know, catch people if they smoked weed 2 weeks ago. And it's stupid because they're starting to develop, if your current, you know, ways of testing specifically for like DUIs and things like that, of trying to tell when somebody's actually
pain management. I understand, but that's something where I go, I would prefer they use the creams and the this and the that but you can't be getting high. But see, that's the weird thing is, you know what? They're going to wind up giving him morphine and Vicodin anyways.
Yeah, exactly. If that's the case. Unless they piss test every single one of them before they get field, then it's stupid to be like, oh, it's totally fine for you to take, you know, Oxycontin and Percocet and cocaine 3 days ago. But, you know,
you can't smoke
marijuana so that, you know, you can sleep.
I'm
going to
put my foot in my mouth right now and probably wind up changing my own mind here. But listen, there was one thing that I will put on your side of the argument. Last week after the Green Bay game, they were interviewing Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron had taken a fucking licking in that game. He got beat up, and they go to him. NFL was cutting in live to his post game conference. And it was a thing where they were introducing it, but the frame was on him, and he had the two microphones on the stand, and he was just like kind of blankly staring at him, adjusting him with his hands, and looked up, and the look in his face, I went, oh, dude, you're real high right now. What did they give you? And that interview, he's not there. He is not there, and there's no way he smoked a joint. They shot him up with, so they're getting high. They're getting high anyways, really.
And then what if there's a lot of people that
maybe
have a history of addiction or have an allergy to opiates, and cannabis is a better alternative.
My girlfriend is allergic. She has an allergy to codeine, and she gets ovarian cysts, mm-hmm. which if for any woman knows, they're terribly painful. For a mm-hmm. man who doesn't know, imagine like a pimple on your testicle, not on the skin, on the inside, and then it pops. It's fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. And they can't prescribe her anything codeine. That's mm-hmm. that's Vicodin, that's hydrocodone, that's all of that stuff. Yeah. So really strong Harlequin, which is a very high CBD mm-hmm. strain.
ACDC.
Yeah, she'll just, if it ever happens, she just lays down in bed, loads a big fat bowl of that, lays there smoking on that for about a day and a half, and usually is able to get through it pretty well.
I've experienced them as well. And, like, sometimes you can get them on one side, so, like, that, you know, and you alternate every month, guys, if you didn't know that. We drop one egg from, you know, each, you know, switch of sides. And then the one that's got the cyst usually is way more painful experience.
when she was going through it, because the thing is, my girlfriend is she's a bit of a baby, if you will. I love her to death, but she can be a little bit of the wuss. So there are a lot of times
girls
where
can take more pain than guys. Too,
girls can take more pain, but no, this girl cries when she stubs her toes. I mean, I love her, but she's like, it's broken. I'm like, it's not even bruised, but that's neither here nor there. When she was going through this, I was kind of having this moment where I'm like, she's in a lot of pain right now. The first time that we were together and this happened, I'm like, she's in a lot of pain right now, but I don't know, is she just playing it up? And then we ended up having to take her to the ER, and at first they thought she was having, like, her appendix was bursting, mm-hmm. and they're like, nope, ovarian cyst. And I was like, was she just being a wuss about this? And he's like, no. Like, this probably hurts more than the appendix. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And when the doctor was the one who gave me that pimple
analogy.
I was like, oh, that's descriptive. Thank you, doctor.
That made me kind of cringe when you were saying it. God. I had never heard that before.
When he said it to me, you know what? That's why I use X. I'm like, people need to know.
Yeah.
People need to know how terrible this is.
Sounds awful. I can talk to her. There's some, like, alternatives. Like, you take, they're enzymes made from, like, they're bovine ovarian enzymes, but it.
Listen, we eat a lot of cow in this house. We're big steak people, so anything extra cow, toss it on. We're all about it.
It's about, like, okay, there's also a treatment for when you get adrenal exhaustion. You can take, you know, bovine adrenals. And it's the same idea about a little bit of something that's similar can stimulate your body to start producing on its own again.
Yeah.
So instead of having, you know, just a deficiency all the time, you just, like, take a little bit and then boom, boost it back up. That's the difference between what we were saying before, but with drugs, it depletes. You know, like, even same thing for caffeine. Caffeine will make you really, really hyper when you're on it, but then the next day you're so tired and you need more.
Yeah.
You could take an herb. There's this stuff called rhodiola, and they gave it to like Russian astronauts and things like that.
I've heard about that. I've definitely had, since I've switched from morning coffee to morning health shake.
Yeah.
I definitely, the initial energy boost is not as good.
I have both.
Yeah,
today.
You go, fuck, I didn't realize you could do both. I was like, fuck, I could have done both. Why haven't I just been doing both? Actually, I do both, but not, I don't do coffee every day anymore, but the health shake I do every day.
Yeah.
And you get the initial vodka energy boost is not as strong, but it definitely lasts a lot longer throughout the day for me. This is an interesting place to go from should we allow athletes to smoke weed.
We're on a tangent, and I don't even see the timer. This is the first one for brand new crab Diving Network.
Crab Diving Network. We're at 36 minutes.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, see?
I don't see the...
Got to set a clock. Yeah, I know. I realize. I'm like, I'm going to have to zoom in. We're in my brand new studio right now, which... Yeah. I set up a TV and I realize now, I'm like, I need to make that TV tilt and give it a zoom on it, don't I? It'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Be a lot more fun.
It's all good.
But anyways, coming back to it. we had a couple more things we wanted to talk about. What was the next one? What was on the list?
We're going to talk about the news a bit. We're going to talk about, you mentioned perennial earlier. There's been some raids in LA and there's been some robberies, right?
Yeah, Perennial Holistics was held up at gunpoint, which was, I was talking about it beforehand, that they're one of the few upscale dispensaries that I go to that doesn't have an armed guard. And some people don't like armed guards. Me personally, I live, my house that we're in right now, my next door neighbor is a pot store.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an alley between us. And everyone goes, oh, you live next to an alley, next to a pot store? And I say, it's the safest fucking house on the block. Nobody hangs out in my alley because I got armed security 30 feet from my front door.
Yeah.
There's a dude
with a gun.
With a gun, trained to use it.
Hopefully.
Well, I mean, you know, an armed security guard, usually they've passed, you know, certification and stuff like that. If not, then that's a whole different separate issue. But I'm trusting that they have gone through their due diligence to hire a legal security guard who can carry a weapon. I feel safe. I'm good with that. I have the safest house in the block. But Perennial has not had that. They don't have the armed security guard. And it definitely is a nicer atmosphere in there, but
it creates an institutional feeling when there's gates and bars and guns and you're just like, whoa, because ideally, you know, when you're thinking about it from your heart, you're trying to
Pfizer
treat.
Doesn't deliver with armed security. I understand that.
Well, no, but I mean, you're treating patients but then there's still that aspect of like, people still treat drugs like drugs. I mean, I'm from the East Coast. People rob pharmacies too, like regular pharmacies for like OxyContins. You know, like that. You gotta have a level of security, but it doesn't have to be in your face like that. But sometimes it's the same idea. If you're like flagrant about your shit, count a bunch of money, they know. I mean, you know, it's bound to come back.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope when you start saying, well, because. There's no way to phrase it where you're saying, you know, if you're selling anything that, if stolen, could be remarketed pretty easily, you want to guard that pretty safely. But
most robberies in dispensaries come from the inside. It's not, no one's just going to, I mean.
I understand what happened there was probably far and few between some armed gunmen kicking down the doors, stealing plants, and, you know, emptying the displays. But.
Stealing plants, too. They have a grow.
Yeah, they have a grow in the, they just expanded. You know, Sam was so excited. He bought the place next door and, listen, they're a great place. They'll be back. They're already back up on their feet.
I mean, people bounce back from this shit.
Yeah. Like I said, already bounced back better than ever. They're a wonderful store. They're wonderful people there. It sucks that it happened to them. But I'm I'd be interested in asking him if it's changed his view on whether he's going to have armed security in there. You know, there's definitely it's tough because it gets into the whole gun debate, which, you know,
I'm totally for guns.
You know, yeah. I here's the thing. I'm kind of totally for guns too, but it's something where I go, it also is really, really way too easy to get them, and I don't know if I'm in that whole, you know, give it to everyone kind of thing, but I will also say every time I've gone to Las Vegas, every single time with my buddy, we do a football weekend in January for the playoffs. One of the things we do is we go to the gun store and we just shoot a bunch of big fucking guns. And it's a good time. And do I think that I should be allowed to take an M248 saw home with me? No, I don't. Do I believe that I should be allowed to go somewhere and pay some money to have some fun shooting one? Yes, because it's fun. Because it's a good time.
I think it's important to know how to use that and defend yourself. And just for any purpose. Like, I really believe that you should be able to defend your own property.
Yes. Me and Sid, we do the Krav Maga classes.
Tight.
You know, we keep the I always say, like, guns are for protecting your home. You know, if you're out in the street, that's where I hold it off and I go, because I have that problem of, like, if one person has a gun, every fucking person needs a gun. Outside of the cops, if one person has a gun, everybody needs a gun because nobody's safe. Like, that's the kind of, maybe I just believe it's a dark world out there.
I mean, at any moment it could be, you know.
Yeah. It's a fair thing, but once again, that's why having them at a pot store,
crime goes down where there, you know, where there's cannabis. That's the one thing that Colorado talks about.
Yeah, Colorado has definitely said crime goes down where there is cannabis. Like I said, what I'm happy to say is, what's happened to Perennial, unfortunately, is not a story I've heard a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I've not heard a bunch of people say, oh my God, a bunch of armed gunmen came in and knocked off pot shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a story I feel like I've heard a bunch of times. So is that because most of these places have armed guards? Because listen, any person who's doing this is probably someone who's been there before and been like, hey, they don't have an armed guard.
I don't know, though, because there's always... I've worked at places where, you know...
Yeah, kill that phone.
Fucking mother... It's going to get... Anyways, I've worked at places where they have, you know, had armed guards, and then where we didn't. And, you know, there's a time where you just... You don't have... Just because you can't see it doesn't mean he's not there. So I'd be like, oh, yeah... They're in the back, watching the cameras.
Yeah,
I'd be like, oh, you're all alone? Yeah, I've been all alone in a fucking weed store. And I've been like, yeah. They're like, oh, where's so-and-so? I'm like, oh, he's in the back, watching the cameras. Like, just.
Yeah, see, that is an unnerving feeling, probably, to be alone in a pot store.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah.
Wasn't super okay with it, but, you know, you make do.
Well, that's one of those things where I go, it's.
But I mean, like, people, there's so many pot stores, like, they'd be getting knocked off all the time, you know? It's like, but there's always a certain amount of people there. Someone had to, you know, either go there all the time, used to work there, disgruntled, still work there. I think I worked at a shop once that, it was after I wasn't there anymore, but I heard that they got robbed and thought maybe it was the people that did the wiring. Someone had come through and they knew how to, but I don't know for sure.
Came from inside the building.
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea of, doesn't matter if times are tough or not. When someone sees what you're holding, they get jealous and they want what you have. It's just, you can't control that shit. It's just, it's envy. It's something that, you know, sometimes takes over people. And that's why you shouldn't be flagrant with your shit, and you should keep your business really tight and not tell everybody what the fuck, you know, you're doing. Don't show all your cards.
Yeah. I mean,
even in business, like, only your fucking.
What I will say is, and, you know, you saying that, it's like it brings us up is, you know, I mentioned that one of the things that was stolen was plants. Well, when he expanded, they put in the grow room, but it's all glass walls. So when you enter the shop, you sign in, you go through a door, and you go through the hallway, and the hallway is glass on both sides looking into the grow rooms. So it's like you knew how many plants were there.
Mm-hmm.
They're right there.
Yeah. I know somebody else that was talking about doing that at their shop, too, like creating like this whole walkthrough. And it's like, why does everybody got to keep your shit private?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you don't want everyone to know how much is sitting in the back. You don't want everyone to know what your full inventory is.
Only your accountant should know what you're holding, you know, because that's, I mean.
Yeah, it's asking for trouble.
Most businesses, you know, will say like on their, you know, we don't even carry less than $100 in our register. And it's just this industry is so cash based that people will have a bunch of shit on them. And it's not easy to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
I've known people to, like, make, you know, see 500 patients a day. Make, like, crazy. I mean, you can just, even if you even if you do the math and they got the
minute. $20 per, that's still obscene. That's a good day.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, there's lots of money. That's why, we talked about the credit cards earlier. That it just goes in and out and people see it. And you get jealous. You get mad.
Yeah.
People, that's just life, you know. That's why this kind of shit occurs. It's like everywhere. It's not just in the weed industry. It's just you see an opportunity to fucking get over on somebody, and that's the type of life you live, and that's what you're going to do.
What I will say about this, though, is that I know.
Not to rationalize.
I know for a fact that store never operates with less than 4 people in there. And, you know. 4 people that.
Do they have to get buzzed in, or you can walk right in?
You gotta get buzzed in.
There's no arm guard.
Gotta get buzzed in.
Okay. Yeah. And how did they come in?
There was just three of them with guns. I mean, listen, I think it was one of those. The door is not one that would be unable to kick down. I will say that much.
It just sounds weird to me. But that's like. 4 people isn't that much against 3 people with guns, you know.
That's the whole thing. You know, it's damn it if the gun doesn't make everything unfair.
Yeah.
It weighs everything in your favor. Fucking goddamn it!
This industry's been very interesting to be a part of. Just how you're always, like, at any moment, either the cops could run in and pull guns on you and take all your shit, or somebody else.
You're literally getting it from both ends.
Yeah.
You're getting it from the top to the bottom. Everybody wants to fuck you.
Uh-huh. And then just on your integrity, like when you talk to people, like, you know, keeping the sales limited to a certain, you know, amount, talking about it like, you know, like it truly is medicine. I mean, we get so used to saying, "Oh, I'm baked, I'm high," or whatever, but it is our medicine.
Yeah. No, I was severely Still am severely ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point that, you know, the industry that I've worked in, I've been doing this, even though I'm 28, I've been doing this for 20 years. And there are people who've known me since I was 7 who go, "Well, you matured so much." I'm like, "No, you just haven't seen me sober in 10 years. I've calmed down because I can now. I was so manic. I would bounce off the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't sit still. Being on a sound stage used to be hell for me because you had to sit still and be quiet. And for someone who's ADD, that was Mm-mm. fucking hell. Now I enjoy sitting down. You know, it's wonderful. It's one of my favorite things to do is sit down. Just relax.
Yeah. And what I was saying that about the way that you talk about it to people, there's people trying to come in and entrap you even.
Yeah.
You know, they start to lead into conversations about, "Oh, you know, what's the best stuff that's going to get me fucked up?" You know? And sometimes that's just how they are. But sometimes it's people leading you into entrapment because it's, you know, they want to see that you're applying to it medicinally. Even though just, you know, people still use it medicinally in a recreational manner. Public, you know.
Well, it's their
ADD medicine. It's their anxiety medicine.
It's the idea of self-medication. You know, mm-hmm. No, I don't think very few human beings actually have the ability to properly self-medicate. Mm-hmm. To just be like, nope, that's exactly how much I need. I mean, we all do that. I don't know that I can fault anybody for doing that. It's like, hey, listen, we all do it. We all can't, if left up to our own devices, you know, there's no one's, everyone reacts differently. No one can sit down and say, okay, if you smoke exactly half a joint a day, that's how much of this you need to not be bouncing off the walls, but you also won't be baked out of your mind.
It's we like that it's considered more of an herbal alternative supplement versus defined medicine, because it limits your, you know, it'll limit your dosages. It will, right now it's as needed, and you know, yes, you can determine what is too much and what is too less by, you know, having your
being responsible,
having your experience. But then man, this is a perfect example of having too much
of having too much of a good thing.
So
it's okay, grab it, you can get it, it's somewhere. I know we are getting into the close, so we are going to have to move on to the product thing, because I didn't want to tell you about that Fourier experience, because I know that you were kind of curious about it when I told you about it earlier.
I am definitely interested.
You're still trying to figure out what you were talking about?
No, I got glutened last night, and I got major glutened? Brain fog, and so that adding to it. It's like a become polite from having, you know, I've been gluten-free for like 8 years, and I pretty much had a little bit of soy sauce on like Chinese food, which is the worst. Like it's so much crap in it. And then I woke up, like it was like I slept past my alarm this morning. I'm all puffy. I'm sluggish. I got brain fog. And then I smoked, and I'm like, I'm trying to sound smart right now. This is not good. This is not good. And then the first like glaze over was like, I said something and I backed up in my mind, like, did I say the right word right there? Or did I say
you
trip over what you're saying. And I mean, I've done tons of podcasts, I have experience with that, but you just have to like catch yourself and be like, stop fucking overanalyzing, dummy. But I'm extra foggy today, so I have to apologize. And I don't know if anybody has experienced that, like definitely ADD and anxiety and all that stuff when I don't have that in my system is way better.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely.
Totally calm. We were going to talk about the other news.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We do it. We have other news. I forgot.
It's that we had 3 major recreational legalizations.
Yeah, we did. We had
in this country.
We had Washington. We had Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And
Oregon.
Oregon.
So the left coast is tight.
Yeah, we are the last West Coast state. Mm-hmm. 2016, baby. 2016. Do you think 2016 or do you think 2020?
2020.
For California legalization.
We're going through, I think that we're holding off because we're seeing everybody else fuck up first. It's always good to let people figure it out and then be like, oh yeah, that works
best. The Apple method of doing things. Apple's always said, like, they don't need to be the first to do anything. They'll just do it better. I swear to God, Apple made a rumor that they were going to do a smartwatch 3 years ago just so Samsung would do one so that they could look at it and go, okay, what did you do right? What did you do wrong? Now let's do it better. I have no problem with California doing that. But now four states and one province, or one district, I guess we should say.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough of a test sample that in 2 years we can't make something happen?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's 6 years down the road?
I think that we were talking about this earlier before we actually hit record about the the prices and how everybody's setting their tax regulations.
Yeah.
And how it's kind of going in the direction of if the prices go up for the cost to the consumer, but the cost for the grower keeps going down, we're going to end up having government subsidies. And for example, you tell the story about going to Washington.
$90 for 2 grams, yeah.
Yeah, that was insane. We're totally.
But I knew everything about the plan. I mean, it was. You. That's what winds up happening. You wind up getting this over. I don't know. Is it overregulation or? We had a pre-show interview actually with someone who, what she was explaining was the fact that nobody wants to grow legally.
Mm-hmm.
There's no profit in it. There's a lot less money in it. So that being the case, there's now less supply for them and more regulation. Well, of course you're going to have $90 for 2 grams. That's what's going to happen. Every single time.
I mean, that's like the most expensive shit ever.
But it is exciting. It is very exciting to see more states doing it. I just want to know, what's your vote? Do you think 2016 or 2020? Which one do you think that we're going to vote for legalization in? Or which one do you think it's going to get passed in?
I think it'll definitely be there in 2016 on the ballot, whether it gets passed or not, or maybe it might get shelved. But definitely, I see it coming soon. Prepare. Plan your brands.
I'm interested. I'm definitely very interested. I'm waiting for it to happen. I'm excited. But now can I tell you about it? I've been aching to tell you about Foria. I'm so excited. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Foria, it's this marijuana sexual lubricant for women.
Woo!
Yeah. So it was making some very bold claims about 30-minute orgasms and all this and that. They really weren't lying. I mean, and so the thing is, you spray it on, it's like they say anywhere from 4 to 8. The first time we used it, we were me and my girlfriend were a little bit aggressive about it. Woo. I went for like 6. And she apparently the next morning she was very happy she had the day off because like she said she woke up orgasming throughout the night. Like it was really holy. I have a friend who him and his wife used it. He said his wife is like she'll have one good orgasm. You know how everyone knows how orgasms are. Like for women, at least from the observations I've had, they'll have the two. They'll have the orgasm, and then they'll have the orgasm. You know that one that
Hail Mary.
That holy fuck! I forgot that they come that big, and he said he's like she can only get really like one of those, but that's after a while of work. And he said that they did the spray, they waited the 30 minutes. He's like 5 minutes. He said it was like she got his words, not mine. He said it was like Tyson hit her in the vagina. he said it was a knockout punch. He said she was asleep within 10 minutes after that. It was all I'm saying is I'm recommending it for everybody now. Is that holy mother of.
Like to invite them to be our sponsor.
Yeah, we'd like to invite them to be our sponsor. If you can send me like 9 gallons of it in one of those easily to apply spray bottles, I would really greatly appreciate. I just want to carry it around in a backpack with a hose attached to the. I was very impressed. I don't know what marijuana could be doing down there. I really do not. But oh my Lord, here's the thing. It does not do anything for the men. It is a lubricant, so you know, yay.
That's a plus.
But I mean, I say it doesn't do anything for the men. It makes your job a lot easier. That's like that. Let's be completely honest about that. Like, you know, if it made it's like it's taking candy from the proverbial baby. It was so much fun. I recommend this to everyone. You don't get high. There's no if you're someone who is. You know, listening, you're like, I don't know if I want to, you know, I'm not, you're one of those fence smokers. I have a lot of friends who have recently started, you know, coming out of the woodworks, like, you know, I haven't smoked in X amount of years and I'm interested in trying again and asking. This is definitely one of those things where I'm like, you want to see what we've done with weed since you stopped smoking 30 years ago? You want to see what we've done with it? This is what we've done with it.
We've
put it in a lubricant now that makes your lady orgasm for extended amounts of times very easily. Just, yeah.
They're like, by George, why haven't we thought of this before?
I was like, why was I smoking shit laced with PCP in Central Park in 1982? Jeez.
Or letting that male prostitute blow coke up my ass.
Yeah, so that was my exciting product review that I could not wait to tell you about because, yeah, I mean, it's so awesome. It was... I didn't think it would work. There was no reason for me to think that this would work. Why would it work? It's marijuana sex lubricant that's making bold claims. And like, this is...
Yeah.
bold claims.
As bold as big dick
pills. As bold as big dick pills. I was like, this is big dick pills. You can't do this. But because it was marijuana, I was like... And here's the thing. I couldn't find it anywhere. So I was like, I'm not fucking going through the trouble of ordering it. And then I found out someone was carrying it. I was like...
A shop?
Found out a shop was carrying it.
A dispensary.
Like, a dispensary was carrying it.
Which like, dispensary?
Perennial Holistics was carrying it. I'm like, all right, here we go. And I went down. I picked up. They had two sizes of bottles. I got the larger one. And I was, you know, brave. I was like, hey, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that this. I'm going to show faith. And I'm happy I did. Couldn't be happier I did. I would euphoria. As in euphoria, but without the U, just phoria.
I mean, that.
And with an F, not a PH.
That's quite a niche right there.
Oh, I mean, who thought of it? Who was the person? It's like the mathematician who's sitting there going, you know, well, I got this weed and I got this vagina and what?
Is it water-based or is it oil-based?
I believe it's water-based.
Okay.
Pretty sure it's water-based.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So then it means you can use it with or without condoms.
Yes, with or without condoms. I feel like someone doing that would do well. I'm going to have to go check now. We'll fill them in next week.
They have some like natural ones that are, if they're oil-based, they
Yeah, they can eat through.
Yep.
They can eat through a condom.
Oh,
well,
geez.
Now on that, cannolinguists have come to the end of our first episode.
Oh,
this
was
so much fun. I had a ball watching you slowly hit that wall and come back. You've come back from it, and then you kind of tripped, and then you picked it right back up again. And this has been an awesome adventure.
It'll be fun to reflect on later.
Absolutely.
And look forward to being more clear next time.
Thank you for listening. I am Alex Mandelberg.
April O'Connor.
Have a good one.
Peace.